Let's read the word. Let's go straight to Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Colossians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and for your love for all the saints. May the Lord bless the reading of the word. Father, we thank you for the teaching of the word this morning. We open our hearts to you. We pray that you speak to us today. I pray that this word will not just be information, but let it result in transformation in our lives. Father, we thank you that the entrance of your word brings light, it brings understanding to those of a simple heart, and we receive it this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Repeat after me, say, the word of God is alive. It prevails in my life today. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth proceeds knowledge and understanding. And I receive it today. Amen. We then say, glory, 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 glory. Okay. Now today, we are finishing off our series. I think we have done probably 6-7 weeks on this series entitled Strategies for the Secret Place. We've been talking about strategies for the secret place. How do we pray and why should we pray? How often should we pray? And a couple of weeks ago, I began teaching you on the need to mature in your spiritual journey, in the need for you to grow in your prayer life. I started teaching you on the importance of increasing the quality of your prayers, the way that you pray, and even the quantity of your prayers. We see the Lord Jesus from time to time, he would run away from the crowd and you'd spend the whole night with the Father in the mountains praying until his disciples say to him, Lord, teach us how to pray. When you pray well, your prayers become contagious and your way of prayer becomes attractive. The people around you will be able to see that this person is a person of prayer. And they'll start asking you, how do you do it? Now, I taught you a very important aspect on maturing in your prayer life. And I taught you on governmental type of prayers. Do you remember that? We spoke about governmental type of prayers. And my question this morning, 3 weeks down the road, who of us have actually prayed those governmental prayers? For the sake of peace, don't lift your hands. Who of you went back to the notes? When you go onto our website, you find there's an MP3, there's an MP4, there's a PDF. There is everything you need for you to actually go back and glean again on the messages that are taught. Who of us have actually gone on to say, I want to make prayers of declaration. I want to make prayers that shift the natural circumstances to line up with the will of the Father. Governmental prayers. And I say to you, that is one way of growing in your prayer closet. And this morning, I'm going to do part 3 of maturity in the secret place. And I want to preach to you another dynamic prayer called apostolic prayers. Apostolic prayers, that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. And I'm not sure if you have heard about these type of prayers, but to me, these prayers are so key in the life of a believer and in the life of a community like our community. Glory be to God. Amen. What are apostolic prayers? That's where we're going to start this morning. What are apostolic prayers? You see, when you look at the ministry of apostles, you find that they are called by God to build foundations of the church. To build the foundations. That is what apostles are called to do. You find that apostles bear witness to the resurrected King of glory by teaching, by praying. When you look at the Bible and you look at the apostles' lives, you find that there is something common about the apostles in the New Testament. They were prayerful people. Apostles were prayerful people. And the Bible tells us that the ministry, the church, is built upon the foundations of apostles. So when you speak of apostolic prayers, these are prayers that get to the heart of building and establishing foundations in people's lives. So when you tap into the dimension of apostolic prayers, you are in that dimension of building foundations in the lives of people around you. You find that the letters of Paul, for instance, remember Paul wrote a whole big chunk of the New Testament. And you find that his letters to the different churches, he would always throw in prayers. He would say, I pray for you. Ever since I heard about you, I pray for you. When you go to the book of Ephesians, you see the depth of the prayers that Paul would make for the church at Ephesus. So when you talk about apostolic prayers, these are prayers that get to the heart of building and establishing foundations in people's lives. Now, if the church is to grow, if your children are to grow, if your friends are to grow in the Lord, guess what? You and I have a responsibility to tap into these apostolic prayers. Hello, somebody? The church has to engage in apostolic prayers if this church is to grow spiritually. If we do not do that, we will not grow the way we're supposed to grow. Now, you're going to ask the question, how do we engage in these type of prayers? That's a very intelligent question. How do we engage in these types of prayers? Now, there is a way of you and I of engaging these types of prayers. And I've come to realize that these apostolic prayers are very uncommon. Very few people get to actively engage in them. And the reason why apostolic prayers are uncommon in the church, it is because of their nature. The nature of apostolic prayers is not popular amongst people. You will see as we go on that apostolic prayers are prayers that are contrary to human nature. Why do I say that? Let's go to Colossians 1 again. Let's read again that portion of scripture that I read. Now the Bible says here, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints. Now you see here, Paul was saying this, what I'm about to say to you is coming from me and Timothy, and it is coming to you. From us to you. So apostolic prayers are always outward looking. Apostolic prayers are always selfless. That is what apostolic prayers are. So that is the first reason why you find that many people don't get involved in apostolic prayers, because it is contrary to me, to the way that I do things. I always think about us four and no more. Now, Paul says here, to the saints and faithful brethren, sisters in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. So Paul introduces himself and says, I'm not a self-appointed apostle. I'm an apostle who was appointed by the will of the Lord Jesus. In other words, the Lord Jesus got me. The Lord Jesus got hold of my heart, and therefore he's got total control of what comes out of my heart. And this morning I want you to know, if you are to engage in apostolic prayers, you need Jesus to have complete control of you. You need Jesus to come and dictate what should happen in your life. So, to engage in apostolic prayers, you need to appreciate that apostolic prayers are selfless and outward focused. When you engage in apostolic prayers, you almost get to forget yourself. It's not about you. It's about the other. It's about the person sitting right next to you. It's about the mama, the friend, the your wife, your husband, your children. It's about them. It's not about you. That is why Paul says, I pray for you. Me and Timothy pray for you always. He took responsibility to pray for the saints. Let me pose a question to you. How much responsibility have you taken to pray for your friend? How much responsibility have you taken to pray for your children? Those of you who've got children. I was talking last night with a guy by the name of Wayne. He was playing some music here, and he's got a burden for young people. And he says, you know, the issue that I have is that fewer and fewer young people are going to church. And he says, those who are being taken to church, they're just being dumped at Sunday school. And I say to him, do you know where the problem is? The problem lies with the parents who think that the church has the sole responsibility to disciple their children. I said, that is a mistake that many parents have. What we do in Go Kids is really to encourage the work that you're doing already. Every parent has got the primary responsibility to disciple their children. That is why the Bible says you need to raise your children in the ways of the Lord, so that when they are old, they will not depart from them. It's not talking about the church. It's talking about parents raising their children in the ways of the Lord. Amen. Now, you have a responsibility to pray for your children. How you want your children to work out will determine how you pray. If you want your children to get married properly one day, you start praying for them right now. You start praying for their spouses right now. You don't wait until they go to high school. You don't wait until they go to university to start praying for their wives and their husbands. No, you start now and you say, not one of the children who came out of my womb will have children out of wedlock. Amen. You put down the marker in your prayer life. Why? Because you have the responsibility. Amen. I'm talking about us stepping into the dimension of apostolic prayers. You look at your church and you say, this church cannot remain the way it is. I have a responsibility to shape what happens tomorrow. The issue is apostolic prayers have nothing to do with you. One of the reasons why we don't engage in apostolic prayers is because we don't spend much time in the presence of God. The little time we spend it praying for ourselves. And you start asking yourself, I'm just praying for 10 minutes. Where do I fit to pray for the church? You need to up your game to engage in this prayer where you say to yourself, I'm going to pray for 30 minutes. And 10 minutes of that 30 minutes, I'm praying for this local church. I'm praying for the leadership of this church. Listen to me. The power of apostolic prayers is that you step right into the ministry of Jesus Christ. The ministry of intercession. You step into the realm of what Jesus is busy doing right now, 24/7 at the right hand side of the Father. The Bible says when he ascended up high, he sat at the right hand side of the Father doing what? Making intercessions for the saints. When you engage in apostolic prayers, you partner with Jesus. You collaborate with Jesus. Guess what? When Jesus has his benefits, he passes on to his partners. Hallelujah. That is the power of apostolic prayers. You become a watchman. You become the guy who sits on the walls of your city and you look beyond and you warn the people in the city that the enemy is about to come. My question this morning is, who is watching over the church? Who is watching over your workplace? Who is watching over your relationships if you don't? Stuff has been happening at my workplace. And a couple of days ago, I felt led to pray for each person in our workplace. Our consultants is not a big place, about 9 guys. But stuff are happening right now. And the Lord led me to pray specifically for each one of them in a specific way, depending on what is going on in their lives. I feel God planted me there for a reason. And therefore, I pray prayers that have nothing to do with me. How selfless are we in our prayers? Jesus is seated on the right-hand side of the Father, interceding. And I sense the heart of Jesus saying, who wants to join me? When we enter 2020, who is going to join Jesus in that business of watching over the city? We complain about crime over our city, but how much praying is going on for the safety of the city? We are crying for the raping of our children at schools, but how much praying is going on for our schools? And we say, government schools are a cesspool of immorality, but are we praying for our government schools? We're not. We're good at talking. One of the ministries that are so rewarding in the spirit is the ministry of intercession. Intercessors are kept awake by the Spirit of God in the middle of the night. They wake up and they pray for stuff that has nothing to do with them. And nobody will ever know. Nobody will come to them and say, thank you for praying for us. But the Bible says the one who sees in the secret will bless you publicly for all to see. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. That's the power of apostolic prayers. It's behind the doors. You find that some of the prayers that Paul would make, it would be prayers that he was making in prison, where he was incarcerated by Nero, and he would still be praying for the church of Philippi. He said, I pray for you. Why was he doing that? His heart was different. Apostolic prayers. We find it easy to fast for ourselves. If I can ask you, the whole year of 2019, did you take out one day to pray for somebody other than you? Other than your children. Where you say, Lord, I will not eat. I'm going to pray for that sister. It's not common. Number two. Apostolic prayers come from a caring heart. The state of your heart will determine whether you will engage this type of prayer. The Bible says in chapter verse 3, we give thanks to God. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, Paul expresses his care for the saints by how he thanks God for them. He says, I thank God for you. I appreciate, what God is doing in your life. He says, ever since we heard of your faith, ever since we heard about the good works that you're doing, we give thanks to the Lord for you. He is thankful for the saints' spiritual progress. He's saying, Lord, I thank you because I've heard of their faith in the Lord Jesus. I've heard of their love for one another. He zeroes in what is working for them. But can I tell you something? Things were not really working for the church at Colossae. Things were bad in the church of Colossae. It was actually a home church in the home of a guy called Philemon. It was a cell group. Remember, back in the days, churches were being conducted in homes. It was small structures. And Paul had heard of what was happening in that church. Because this church was in a home, it wasn't a very big church. And what was happening with the church at Colossae was that they were being infiltrated by people who had a different belief system. It was people who were doubting the deity of Jesus Christ. These people were saying Jesus was semi-divine. Jesus was one of those great people. Actually, Jesus does not have so much power to control what we do. That was the heresy that was infiltrating the church. But when Paul was writing to them, and when Paul was praying to them, his motivation was not to try and fix them. His motivation was his love for them. And he says to them, I've heard of your love for brothers. I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. And because of that, I give thanks to the Lord. For you to pray for me, you've got to care about me. You know, if you are always fixated by my errors, you might never get to a point of praying for me. If you walk into this church and the first thing that you see is how things are not working together, you will not pray for the church. But when your heart is driven by compassion and by care for the people of God, guess what? When you care for me, you'll have a burden for me. That is the thing that you need to understand. When you care for someone, you will naturally develop a burden for them. You'll be able to go to the Father and say, Father, what is on your heart for Monroe? Lord, give me a burden for this church. And somebody needs to start making that prayer. And say, Lord, give me a burden for this church. so that I can commit one day of the week to pray for this church, to pray for the people around me. He did not start off by hitting on the issue of heresy that was coming through the church. He said, I give thanks to the Lord for the love that you have for one another. You've got to look at what is working, and you're inspired by what is working. Unfortunately, human tendency is this. We do not rejoice with those who rejoice. It doesn't come naturally to us. In actual fact, when I see that something is really working for Cherish, I then look at myself and say, how come it's not working for me? I need to pray hard for myself. You see what happens? When you start looking at people and you envy them, jealousy kicks in. Instead of praying for them, you pray harder for yourself. And those are selfish prayers that God will not answer. That is why in James, the Bible says, the reason why you do not have is because, one, you don't ask. Two, when you ask amiss, so that you can fulfill your own selfish ambitions. Now, when you are driven by care, you are saying, Lord, whatever you're doing in that family, continue doing, Lord. Do not stop until they see your goodness. Compassion draws you to pray prayers differently. In the absence of a burden, apostolic prayers will be short-lived. Some of you, after hearing this message, you go pray these apostolic prayers for 1-2 days. But in the absence of true care and a true burden, it will be short-lived. That is why you need to say, Lord, give me a burden. Give me a love for this community. When you love somebody, you pray for them. Because you're concerned about their well-being. Does somebody hear me this morning? So, when you care for someone, you will naturally develop a burden for them. Let's continue unpacking this. Number three, I'm talking about the nature of apostolic prayers. I'm talking about how you engage in apostolic prayers. So you got to watch your heart. Do you really, really care for your family? What goes on in your heart when you hear that grandma is sick? What goes on in your heart? So, the third issue around apostolic prayers is apostolic prayers take consistency, persistence. We don't do a hit and run when it comes to this. The Bible says here in Colossians 1:3, he says here, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Praying always for you, not once. There are many people who pray out of pressure. Many people pray out of a guilt conscience. So you do it, as long as you appease your guilt conscience, you move on, you do other things. You go back to selfish prayers. Give me, give me, give me. My name is Jimmy. Apostolic prayers will move you from a give me, my name is Jimmy prayer. Like, give them, give them, give them, Lord, because when it is well with them, the kingdom of God will expand. Hallelujah. That's a selfless prayer. Because when we all do well here, the kingdom of God will go places. Hallelujah. Now he says here, we pray for you always. My exposure in the construction industry has shown me a couple of things. It takes longer to build the foundation than it is to build any other structure. It takes you longer to build the foundations. And you find that when we're putting together a schedule of works, you put in quite a bit of time in the foundation phase because you don't know the conditions of the ground. And if you want to go higher, the deeper the foundation should go. That is why some of you are being shaken right now, because the Lord wants to build something so high in your life, and he's deepening the foundations. He's deepening the foundations. And when it is deep enough, we come out of the ground. You see, when you're building these tall buildings, you find that the guys work in that hole, this big hole, for a long time. Nobody sees anything coming out. Until 1 month, you see stuff coming up. You're like, something was going on there. I want you to know, when it comes to building foundations in our lives, it doesn't take a once off. Building solid foundations, our church is strongly discipling people. If you are to really disciple somebody, you need to be patient. You need to pray for them until you see change. And Paul says, praying always for you. Persistence is key. Apostles lay foundations, and as such, apostles take time to get things done. They don't go into a community and they say, it hasn't worked for 6 months, it hasn't worked for 12 months. Maybe God does not want us here, unless God tells you. You come into a community like Pretoria East and you plant a church and you hit 2 years and you haven't seen much. What do? You understand that it takes time to build foundations. Glory be to God. And I want to say to you as a church, stick it out. Don't bail out before time. Because if you bail out, one day you'll come back and you're like, I wish I had been part of the journey. Glory be to God. Be part of this journey and God will reward you. I'm talking about persistence and not giving up. You look at your child. They are struggling. They are battling to tie their shoelaces for the first time. Do you give up on them? You keep on saying, do the loops. Do the loops. Keep on doing it. And until one day, voila, mama, I got it right. What happened? You did not give up on them. Persistence. I believe people who engage in apostolic prayers, they have a fathering and a mothering spirit in them. They are fathers and mothers in the spirit who are prepared to look at children in their nappies and say, I will work on you. I will pray for you until Jesus is fully formed in you. If people were not patient with you, would you be here today? No. If somebody was not patient with me when I gave my life to Jesus, if somebody was not fasting and praying for me those days, I wouldn't be here today. Even right now, if somebody is not praying for me out there and say, Lord, remember that pastor, remember him, let him not give up, I might have given up after 18 months. That is the power of engaging in apostolic prayers. You've got to be persistent. You've got to keep on it until you see the fruit. Many, many people start the process, but very few people see it to the end. We start businesses. We start small enterprises. Unless the Lord tells you, maybe you should not engage in that. But if the Lord has told you that this is for you, you've got to keep going, child of God. Hallelujah. Persistence. Paul says, always praying for you. That is the power of apostolic prayers. Do you see what it does to you? It is character building. When you engage in apostolic prayers, it does not only break the selfish mentality, it also increases your muscle tone in the spirit. Glory be to God. You understand what it means to wait upon the Lord. The Bible says those who wait upon the Lord, they shall run without getting weary. They'll mount up on wings like an eagle. Glory be to God. Let's wait on the Lord. Let's wait on the Lord for this nation. I went to a luncheon for our company on Friday. And the guy sitting next to me like, this thing is broken, man. This thing is broken. It's not working. He was saying this country is broken. It's not working. After he ranted and ranted, I said to him, look, man, I've got hope. I've got hope in this country. And the reason why I have hope is not because I'm seeing hope right now. It's because Jesus is the hope of all glory. When we seek the face of God, we will see the glory of the living God where we are. Let's not join in this petty talk. Let's ramp up our faith talk and say God is able to make a way for us. He has done it before and he will do it again. Hallelujah. Praying for you always. Pray for me always. And I'll pray for you. You know that song? If you pray for me and I pray for you. That's what we need. You see, that is why the church is called the body of Christ. It's called the body of Christ because each part needs each other. We need one another. We need to be able to know that if one is limping, the whole body pays attention, naturally speaking, isn't it? If you kick your foot against a rock, your hand is like, I don't care about that foot. No, everything goes and pays attention to where pain is. That's how we're supposed to function as a church. Let's look at number four. Are we together this morning? Amen. Apostolic prayers require an informed heart. Mm-hmm. Guys, ignorance is not bliss. There's nothing special about being ignorant. Because what you do not know will exclude you. Okay. You go over the head. What you don't know will exclude you. If you don't know stuff about cricket, and guys are talking about cricket, you will not engage because you don't know nothing. All right? So, your heart got to be informed. The Bible says here in verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Give me that slide. Verse 4 of that says here, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. Paul heard about their faith. In other words, he was, I don't know if you say he was snooping into the church. Like, I want to check what's going on in that cell group. And he heard about their faith. Oh, I want to know what's going on in your marriage. I do that sometimes. I ask the question, how are things going? Okay? You got to get used to that because that is how we do things around here. We are accountable. I am my brother's keeper. Hello, somebody. I will ask you in your relationship, how is it going? And if you are open, guess what? You get help. If you are not, you die by yourself. Now, he says here, since I heard about your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, it triggered an emotion in the heart of Paul. I heard about your faith. And I believe Paul was saying, their faith is growing, but there is stuff happening underneath. I need to pray so that their faith will not fail. He was so jealous about their faith journey that he said, I got to pray for this church. I'm not going to allow this heresy to destroy the church. Now, when you read the entire book of Colossians, you see that Paul is positioning Jesus as the supreme. Paul is teaching them like there's no other God, there's no other Jesus, he's the real deal. So what triggered Paul to pray was what he had heard about the church at Colossae. Now, how can you correctly pray for me unless you know about my affairs? Well, the other side of that coin is true. How would you know unless I share with you? Unless I'm a little bit vulnerable. Unless I bring you closer to where I am and say, this is where I'm at. Now, the Bible says, I've heard of your faith and your love for the brothers, and therefore I pray for you always. Now, this is what is important. You grow in your maturity in prayer the more informed you are. The more informed you are, the bigger the burden about a situation. If you pay attention, if your spirit man is open and you're saying, Lord, do whatever you want to do in my life, when you hear about stuff going on around your community, it creates a burden within you and you start praying. When you hear about a marriage that is on the rocks, what do? You start praying earnestly for them. You start praying with fervency for them so that something would change in their lives. I believe that Christians ought to be the biggest consumers of current affairs. Christians got to be the biggest consumers of current affairs. Because the more informed you are, the better positioned you are to pray surgical prayers, accurate prayers. You are able to pray accurately concerning the affairs of the church. You can come to me and say, Pastor, just let me in into what's going on in the church. What are the areas of need? And I'll be able to share with you. And the reason why I'll share with you, I'll take the high road that this person is asking not to be a gossiper, but to be a prayer warrior. Hello? You give everybody 100% and then they subtracted themselves. You trust everybody from the beginning. You allow people in and then they disqualify themselves. So we need to be informed people. How much do we know about the politics in our families? Or we just engage in them during those functions. You know, December is coming. Yeah? People will come together. They'll bribe. They'll have big meals. But there's stuff happening behind the scenes. Are you hearing to spread the news, or you're hearing as material for prayer, as fodder for prayer? And I want to challenge you to change the way you do things as you go into these holidays. So we need to be informed. Paul was informed. If we are to be effective in our prayers, let's be informed. The Bible says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And then it goes on to say, because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you as my priest. Hosea 4:6 says, I have rejected you to be my priest. And then it goes on to say, because of that, your children are destroyed. That is the issue of knowledge. The more knowledgeable you are, the more God can actually use you. The more you know the word, the more the Lord can use that word to take you to a higher dimension in your walk with Him. Glory be to God. Now, what's the makeup of these apostolic prayers? I want to show you five aspects of, you know, the makeup. No, makeup, I'm not talking about facials here. Okay. I'm talking about the constituents. What makes up these apostolic prayers? Now, you need to understand this, that apostolic prayers deal with a number of things. I know I was touching on a lot of things here, but the essence of apostolic prayers is this. They deal with people's faith in God. They deal with people's understanding of the will of God and people being established in love and in unity. That's apostolic prayers. You can see that it is right there on the issues of discipling people. Because when you are discipling somebody, you want them to be established in their faith in God. You want people to have an understanding of the will of God for them and for the season that they're in. You want people to be established in love and in unity. And we know the Bible tells us that love covers a multitude of sins. So when you are engaging in apostolic prayers, you know, amongst many other things, you've got to look at their faith. You've got to look at the will of God in their lives. You've got to look at love and the issues of unity. Does somebody hear me this morning? Now, if you are not careful, I might be losing you right now. Because you're saying, Pastor, those prayers are for pastors, man. Those prayers are for pastors, for apostles, and for prophets. No, that is how we miss it. These prayers are for every believer. Can you imagine the power that comes when every believer prays those kind of prayers? When every believer prays for our faith to be strengthened. When every believer stands in that place and says, Lord, we declare unity in this church. Let's look at a number of them. Number one, a prayer for true knowledge of Jesus Christ. It doesn't get better than that. A prayer for true knowledge of Jesus Christ. You have heard of people who started well, but in the process they missed the mark. What happened? Maybe somebody was not praying for them around this issue. Prayer for true knowledge of Jesus Christ. People come up with all concocted ideas about who Jesus is. But the Bible teaches us who the Lord Jesus is. And Paul prayed that prayer. Go with me to Ephesians 1:17. He says here, and that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. You can fast for 5 days around that. Paul was praying for the church at Ephesus. He says here, I pray that you might receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. You personalize that prayer and say, Lord, I pray for so and so. Give them the spirit of wisdom. Give them the spirit of revelation that they might understand who Jesus is in this season. You are praying that somebody would come to the knowledge of Jesus. You tap into this prayer. You'll be able to see those prayers becoming a reality. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. It is a prayer that is, you're beseeching heaven on behalf of somebody, and you're saying, let them have a true revelation of Jesus. Usually we use that scripture when we pray just for our wisdom, day-to-day wisdom. But you see the context there, it is the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. We need wisdom in the knowledge of Jesus. We need revelation in the knowledge of Jesus, where we are able to clearly comprehend the depth, the height, the length of the love of Jesus, who Jesus is in our lives. When we pray like that for one another, we'll see victory as we are singing this morning. Glory be to God. Number two, prayer for the release of supernatural strength in the heart. How much I need that prayer. How much we need that prayer. Supernatural strength in the heart. When you lack supernatural strength, you become light in the spirit. And when winds blow, you are blown away. When winds come, you start doubting your very faith. When winds come, you start doubting the very word you used to believe. That is why we need to pray for one another for the release of supernatural strength. One of the things that I've realized is that when I am tired physically, it has an impact on my spiritual strength as well. Because my physical fatigue tends to affect my quality time in the presence of God, tends to affect the amount of time I spend reading the word. Sometimes I don't even feel like listening to the word. I'm being vulnerable with you now. Maybe you guys are superhumans. But when I'm fatigued in my body, when I'm driving long journeys, sometimes I don't feel like listening to the word. Let me listen to SAFM and the enemy would have won. But when somebody is praying for you, when you're in that state, your spirit man gets life, and then your body has to obey what's going on in the spirit. Glory be to God. Paul prays this in Ephesians 3:14. He says here, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man." To be strengthened with might. To be strengthened by the Spirit of God. Right now we need the Spirit of God to strengthen our inner man in order to finish well. Glory be to God. Number three. You see, what I'm showing you here is how to craft prayers for yourself. How to craft prayers for your friends and for the church. Number three, prayer to abound in God's love and for clear-headedness. Your head can become foggy sometimes. When stuff is happening around you, when you've been praying for a long time and answers are not coming, there are chances that fog can come into your mind. And you start questioning all sorts of things. That is why we need to pray for one another that would abound in God's love, would rest in his perfect love, because perfect love casts out all fear. And Paul again, he prays in Philippians 1:9, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment." This I pray, that your love may abound. Can you imagine you spending time and praying for your friend and say, "Lord, I know they're going through a difficult patch right now, but I pray that they are abound in their love more and more and more. Even through this season, let them see your love." That changes the complexion of situations for us. "That you may approve the things that are excellent." You see, when you go through your moment of pressure, your judgment gets blurry. Your judgment gets skewed. And somebody starts praying that they may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense. You can be offended by God when things haven't gone your way. You can take offense, like John the Baptist who took some offense over Jesus. John the Baptist was incarcerated by the king, and he was there waiting for his cousin Jesus to come and take him out, and Jesus did not. And there he was sending out his disciples, "Please go find out whether this is the real Messiah or should we expect another." What was happening? Offense. Now somebody here prays for you that they may be sincere and without offense till the day of Jesus. You see, Jesus, after he had answered the disciples of John the Baptist, he then said to them, "Blessed is he who does not take offense on my account." Blessed are you who do not take offense, and you start pointing fingers in the mouth and in the eye of God and say, "Why did you do this? Why did you allow this to happen to me?" Jesus said, "Blessed are those who do not take offense on my account." Now, here there's a prayer which we can make for one another and say, "Lord, may she not take offense. May she persevere through this season." And the Bible says here, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Number four, prayer to know God's will and to be fruitful in ministry. This is a prayer we need to make in this season. Many people will be writing New Year's resolutions, by the way. Come January, they'll be writing. They'll be saying, "This is what I'm going to be doing. I'll be praying 45 minutes a day. I will wake up at 4 in the morning. I'll go to the gym. And when I come back from the gym, I will not have that type of meal. I will have a shake so that my body can tone. Da, 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 da." They put all of that down. But what's the will of God for them? What's the will of God for the church? We put year planners together, but is that the will of God? How will we know the will of God unless we seek it? Unless we pray it? Unless we say, "Lord, we desire to know your will. You know how to lead us, Lord. In your providence, guide us and lead us." Praying that they might know the will of God and be fruitful in ministry. The Bible says in Colossians 1:9, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. And in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." Can you see you can pick these letters by Paul and actually read them out as prayers? And I'm telling you, that won't be a 5-minute prayer. Because it grows on you. It grows on you. Revelation starts coming out. And the Lord starts showing you the exact issues that you ought to be praying around. Now he says here, "I pray that you will be filled with the knowledge of his will." We need to pray for one another as we get into a new season. There's nothing special about going into 2020. What makes it special is that it's a dispensation that God has just allowed us to reset. God is allowing us to relook at our priorities because we have drawn a line. We're moving from 2019 into 2020. It's an opportunity for you to look back and say, "Is this the way that God wants me to live my life? Is this his intention?" Let's look at the last one. Prayer for unity in the church across the city. Prayer for unity in the church. You see, when there is unity, the church can achieve much. The Bible says two are better than one. If one is cold, the other one warms them up. A string of three threads is difficult to break. Talking about the power of unity. When the enemy wants to split the church, when the enemy wants to kill the church, he brings disharmony in the church. Sometimes it starts right here in the worship team. He nails it here, and everybody sees this drama playing out in the front. They're like, "This thing doesn't work, man. Let's go try somewhere else." If he doesn't make right here, he goes straight into that office there. All the elders, they're at each other's throat. The enemy knows how to destroy things, and we also know, because the Bible says, we are not ignorant of his devices, lest he takes advantage of us. If the enemy wants to stop your marriage going forward or for you to fulfill your dreams, he brings disharmony, lack of agreement. You cannot agree on anything. Some of these issues are so basic that you don't agree on, And the reason why you don't see eye to eye is because there's an enemy on the loose. There are things that should be agreed without even conversing between husband and wife. And yet the enemy comes in and he plants a thought in the wife. And the wife thinks it's not going to work. And the husband like, huh, really? Really? Is that how you think? That is why the husband, you husbands who are here, need to go into your closets and pray. Don't fight it in the flesh. You need to pray. Does somebody hear me today? I'm trying to be as practical as possible to challenge you to engage in these apostolic prayers. You agree on something. This is what we're going to do as a family. And then 3 months down the road, the husband turns around. Like, no, it's not going to work. Like, dude, you led me for 3 months and now you're changing. How so? The enemy has just walked in. The Bible says, be alert and be sober. For the devil, your adversary, is roaring around seeking whom he may devour. He can devour even your own children. When your own child one day stands up like, Mama, I'm not going to do that. Like, huh? In my house? Okay. Romans 15:5. Now, may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind, one mouth, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. With one mind, one mouth, one spirit, glorify Jesus. There will never be true worship in the church when there's disharmony amongst brothers. It won't work. We are playing church when we do that. That is why we need to fight that thing until it leaves us in the name of Jesus. That is why as a church we need to say we will not allow division to come into this church. And sometimes the way to fight those things is to look at petty issues and say, it's petty, let bygones be bygones. I won't allow that to affect the spirit in this team. But what the enemy will do, he will take a small little thing and will explode it. And then people will walk out and you ask, why did you leave church? And they start trying to concoct stories. There's no story. The issue here is that as a church, we can stop that through prayer. We can say, may the God of patience and comfort grant us to be like-minded towards one another. It doesn't matter how you look. You might look white, black, short, tall, slender, different looks. It doesn't matter. The Bible says here, may God grant you to be like-minded towards one another, that you may with one mind, one mouth, glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the key right now. It doesn't matter where I'm coming from. I might be coming from Mamelodi, or just down the road here, or up the road here in the East State. That's not the issue. The Bible says when we are in Christ, there's neither Jew, there's neither Greek, there's neither female, there's neither male, for we are all one. That's the story of our lives as believers today. I want us to stand up on our feet. I want us to pray and just commit our lives and say, give me the grace, Lord. I want to be an apostle in the spirit. Because many people say, my calling, I'm not an apostle. I'm just a God kids teacher. No. You can tap into this ministry in your closed doors.